Hi folks. So the situation in Gaza is unbelievable, folks. It's really incredible how much damage Israel is doing to Gaza Strip. You know, it goes way beyond the realms of anything that could be considered self-defense. Collective punishment is not self-defense. Bombing civilian areas, leveling entire suburbs, wiping out entire family lines, killing over 1,200 children, confirmed, this is not self-defense. And Gaza Strip is unrecognizable. It's just incredible, folks, how much damage Israel has been doing while screaming indignation. How dare they come and attack us, and you've got no right to stop us. We're angry. We're going to go in and kill Hamas. All very well if you've got a problem with Hamas, but collective punishment and killing an entire population of 2.3 million people is unacceptable under anybody's standards at all. The freaky part about it is how many people are actually speaking up for this. How many world leaders are actually showing support for Israel in this massive war crime? And it is. It's a war crime, folks. It's ethnic cleansing. It's the worst case of genocide and ethnic cleansing that we've witnessed anywhere in modern history, happening right before our eyes. And the people in Gaza are innocent people. They keep saying, oh, we're making sure we're getting rid of all the terror tunnels before we send our troops in there, because otherwise they'll fall into pits and booby traps that Hamas have made for them. They've kind of created this concept and promoted this notion that Gaza Strip is just this den of terrorists, and everywhere you go it's booby trapped and there's terrorists with weapons waiting to get you. You know, all a terrorist is, according to Israel's eyes, is someone who doesn't like having their house stolen or their children burnt and killed, and all the stuff that they do to the Palestinian people, folks, it's absolutely disgraceful. But the world's waking up. I mean, even the UN now is saying, and people within the UN are saying, this is not acceptable.
What Israel is doing is punishing an entire Palestinian population for what Hamas has done. This is not self-defense. Surely not under international law. And again, the humanitarian aid that I'm desperately invoking for would be supervised by the United Nations. Why can't the multilateral system have a role to play in this situation? So I'm not challenging what you are saying. I'm just saying that an entire population is paying for what Hamas has done. And by the way, just a few months ago, Israeli leaders were reported saying that Hamas was an asset to Israel.
And it's good to see that sort of stuff happening. At least people are having to make some noise about it because it's just out of control. The protests around the world have been phenomenal. The amount of people who have turned out to support Palestine.
I don't think I've ever seen this many people before.
There's an estimated 300,000 people here. I've never seen any pro-Israeli march anywhere in the world that has anywhere close to these numbers. That tells you a story.
Community here.
It's so moving as a Palestinian who's lived in Palestine and hasn't really seen this before. I mean, it's incredible.
Anyone with a conscience believes that a civilian population should never be punished in this way.
Shows you that the people stand for Palestine, while the governments, the politicians, and the media stand for the powerful. And I think that shows you all you need to know.
Of course, the media is still spinning it, saying that these are all pro-Hamas terrorist demonstrations. They're not. These are people who are complaining about the genocide of innocent children in the Gaza Strip. Nothing to do with pro-Hamas. The fact that it's being portrayed this way shows you just how much Zionists control the media, folks. It's all one big game to these people. But the death toll is phenomenal. You know, official figures are saying, you know, 4,600 dead or something. But they're also saying, you know, around about 20 to 30,000 people missing. Missing. Not dead, just missing. Buried under the rubble of their homes. Of course, they're all dead, folks. You know, it's just... Yeah, what can I say? And they're bombing everything, bombing schools, bombing residential areas, bombed the hospital. The big controversy about the hospital that was bombed, and they're saying, no, there was a Hamas rocket that went astray. Well, actually, no, it wasn't. There were two different versions that the Israelis released. There was actually a tweet that they put out as well, said we bombed the hospital because there was a Hamas rocket launcher beneath it or some bullshit, whatever they said. But they actually put out a tweet and admitted doing it and then deleted that tweet. But somebody got a screenshot of it, so you know, there's no doubt that they did this. And they put out one version where they showed what they claim is a rocket launch site, and they show the hospital blowing up at pretty much exactly the same time.
This is proof of Israel's claims that it was actually missiles from the Gaza Strip shot into the direction of the El Ahli Hospital in Gaza City and not from Israel. This is Channel 12's camera. It is a camera situated in the city of Netivot, and its view is of the Gaza Strip. You see the time stamp on this. It's 6:59, and this is when it happens. We can press play on the tape, and you can see very clearly. Again, this is Channel 12's camera. You can see the rockets. This is the left red stamp fired over the hospital, which is the right, and you can see the blast. So that is proof of the fact that it came from the Gaza Strip, cameras, Channel 12's cameras. The President of the United States has already said it appears it was done by the other team, meaning he also realizes that it was shooting from inside Gaza over the hospital.
Now, how that could have been that rocket that blew up that hospital is anybody's guess, how that could possibly have happened. But there's also another video that they put out, which they claim shows a rocket being launched and then exploding in the sky. The rocket failed in the sky, and then a couple of seconds later, the hospital blew up. And they're claiming that this rocket went up in the sky, it misfired, and fell down on the hospital and blew up the hospital. عمدة المدينة كانت تحدث قبل أيام عن أكثر من ألف صاروخ طال هذه المدينة وأكثر من 170 صاروخا سقط بالفعل في داخلها وأحدث دمارا في البنى التحتية وفي السيارات وفي المباني العامة والخاصة. شكرا جزيلا لك إلياس. That's not possible because the Hamas rockets are Qassam rockets. They don't have warheads, so there's no way it's going to blow up a hospital. Now, there was also a piece of video footage which came out, which shows an Israeli warplane or some sort of Israeli plane above the hospital area letting off flares in the sky. And there's two different angles of this video letting off flares. Interesting stuff. Now, why would they be letting off flares? And then, straight after the flares were let off, suddenly the hospital explodes below them. This shows clear intent to blow up the hospital and to blame it on Hamas. Oh, look at these flares in the sky. That's a misfiring rocket. It was a Hamas rocket that went wrong. It's not possible, folks. It was an Israeli rocket. And there's every indication that it was actually a JDAM rocket. There's these weapons called JDAM ordnance. I think they explode just above the ground. See, that was another thing they said. There's no crater there. If it was an Israeli rocket, there would be a crater. Hamas rockets don't leave craters. There's no crater, so therefore it was a Hamas rocket. But JDAM ordnance explode just above the ground, so they don't leave craters. And when you listen to the sound analysis of what a JDAM weapon sounds like when it hits, and you listen to a sound analysis of the rocket that hit the hospital, it's the same rocket. Yeah, this was a JDAM rocket. And this shows that the hospital was not only deliberately targeted, but they also set up a little light show in the sky because they clearly intended to blow up the hospital but blame it on Hamas. This is what Israel does, folks. This is how deceptive these people are. You know, Mossad motto, by way of deception, thou shalt do war. They're really deceptive, folks, and they're really cruel. Some of the reports we've had coming out, they're still saying beheaded babies. They're still running with this when it's been debunked. It's been retracted by everybody. The people who made the original statement, the reporter who released the statement, who said it on the news, even Joe Biden has retracted the statement, but they're still pushing it. They're saying that Palestinians use Palestinian children as human shields. No, they don't. Israeli soldiers use Palestinian children as human shields. Come on, Yeah, I mean, everything is backwards, folks. And they do all sorts of terrible things to these children, which is what is so bad about some of the propaganda that we're hearing. Now, you can be guaranteed that everything Israel is saying, it's accusing the Palestinians of doing, are things that it is doing or intends to do to the Palestinian people. Reports we've had come out of, there was a woman, a pregnant woman who had the fetus ripped from her body and she was killed and the fetus had its head cut off. This is a report that I heard from Palestinian sources to say that a IDF soldier actually did this to a Palestinian woman. There's another report coming out saying that a man had his eyes gouged out, his wife had her breasts cut off, and their child had his fingers cut off. And then Hamas sat down and ate lunch while these people were tortured and bleeding and dying on the floor. These are the sorts of reports you're hearing come out from Israel. There isn't any proof of any of these reports, and these are not the sort of things that the Palestinians would do. You know, honestly, folks, I went to Palestine. I was in Gaza. These were the nicest, kindest, most beautiful, most gentle people I've ever met. And all the stuff they're accusing Hamas of, well, I got detained by Hamas. I broke into their country illegally. I snuck in through a rebel tunnel. They didn't even know that I was coming. It wasn't any of the big Hamas tunnels you hear about. This was a rebel tunnel. This was like 50 meters underground. You had to crawl on your hands and knees for over an hour to get through this tunnel. It wasn't anything like you are told about Hamas tunnels. And they didn't know that I was there. And they were quite disturbed that I came in a tunnel somewhere and they didn't know about it because they control the tunnels. They tried to get me to tell them where the tunnel was. And I said I didn't know. I was too tired when I arrived. It was some blown up building somewhere. I have no clue where the tunnel came out. Yeah, and they said to me, you know, we could put you in front of a firing squad, you know. You're like an illegal spy in our country. You could be an Israeli spy. And I said, yeah, well, I could be, but I'm just an Australian, you know. They were really kind to me. They kind of interrogated me for 5 hours, gave me tea and biscuits, ended up letting me go and provided a driver for me to get me back to Cairo. Does that sound like a group of terrorists? They lost my luggage as well, and they sent my lost luggage on. They found it, and they sent it on with another driver. So they totally looked after me. You know, these did not come across as terrorists to me. So all this stuff that you're hearing about, these terrible terrorists in Gaza, it's all bullshit, folks. Israel is even saying that every house in Gaza Strip has a terror tunnel beneath it, which turns every house into a legitimate military target.
We need to talk about civilians in Gaza. Every aspect of life in Gaza is dictated by and endangered by Hamas. Hamas indoctrinates civilian children in terrorist training camps. Hamas seizes civilian humanitarian resources to make rockets that they fire from civilian neighborhoods. Hamas deliberately embeds itself under and inside civilian homes, schools, and mosques, desecrating these spaces by turning them into legitimate military targets. Hamas mercilessly uses civilians as pawns to carry out their stated goal. Hamas put the civilians they are responsible for in danger when Hamas started this war against Israel. Hamas, the genocidal terrorist organization, is responsible for everything that happens in Gaza.
This is all propaganda, folks. All this stuff is propaganda. You know, the videos we see of, you know, Palestinian children training to be terrorists, and you see them there with rocket launchers and stuff on their shoulders. They don't have rocket launchers like that. They only have Qassam rockets. They don't have any of the hardware that they're showing you on any of these propaganda movies, which are all made by Israel. It's all backwards, folks. Everything they tell you is backwards. And even the whole concept of presenting this as a war, the whole notion of saying it's a war, this provides the vision in people's minds that it's two armies, two equal forces battling it out together. It isn't. It's the most powerful military on earth, battling with a population of children. Average age in Gaza is 17. I've said so many times, folks, 50% of the population are 14 years old or younger. 75% of the population are 25 years old or younger. They've got no weapons. Hamas is the only one that's got weapons. They've got the Qassam rockets. They've got Kalashnikovs, just light weapons. That's it. They've got no artillery. They've got no military. They've got no RVs. They've got no tanks. They've got no planes. They've got no armor, no body armor, no helmets, no nothing. It's not a military. It's a civilian population. You can't go to war with these people. It's not a war. It's a genocide. It takes two armies to have a war. And even when you look at what's going on in Israel, it's crazy, folks. What are they doing in Israel during this war?
In my frustration last night, after seeing the 100th child blown to bits in Palestine, I decided to check out the location tag of Tel Aviv on Instagram just to see what the people of Israel were dealing with. And the results were quite telling. As you can see, they're hanging out, they're taking selfies, they're ordering sushi. This is a photo from the beach. They're having little performances in boutique hotels. I was genuinely shocked by what I saw, and you can go look too. Go look at Tel Aviv's location right now. And watch all the stories of people. It's really, really shocking to see it in comparison with what is coming out on the ground from Gaza, 40 miles away. And, you know, people will have you thinking that this is a war between two equal parties, but this is colonialism. You're looking at it right now. Everyone seems to be having a great time while there's a genocide happening 40 miles away from them.
Yeah, it really looks like they're terrified in Israel, huh? And 40 miles away, there's a genocide going on. 40 miles away, the place is being turned to absolute rubble. And people are just partying in Israel. Bit of a difference there when you look at Israel and you look at Gaza, don't you think, folks? You know, and Israel comes across as this indignant, you know, why would anyone want to hurt us? We're just the most moral army on earth. We do everything we can to help everybody. You know, the way they've treated the Palestinian people for the last 75 years is unconscionable. It's absolutely brutal what they've done to these people, folks. They've terrorized them in every possible way that they can, humiliated them in every possible way that they can. And they're continuing to do so. Even now, Netanyahu's out there arming settlers, giving all these settlers M16s and Kalashnikovs and automatic weapons, telling them to go kill Palestinians. And you know, wasn't this a war on Hamas and a war with Gaza that they're saying? Well, why is it that they've been burning down houses and bombing houses in West Bank? In the last 2 weeks, Israeli snipers have shot and killed 90 teenagers in West Bank and injured 1,300 others while they've been burning down houses and just rampaging through West Bank and terrorizing the Palestinians as much as they can. And they have these totally inhuman policies that they use. I mean, they like to break bones with Palestinians when they find them. Find a Palestinian teenager by himself, just break his arms.
The brutality. Israeli soldiers deliberately breaking the bones of prisoners. Some of the soldiers later insisted they were carrying out official Israeli policy.
That's the sort of stuff they do, folks, all the time. That's what they put these people through all the time when they're not stealing their homes and kidnapping their children. They do that all the time as well. Find a young Palestinian boy walking down the street unaccompanied, just kidnap him, take him off, put him in a cage. Wonderful stuff. I mean, your son goes out to the shop, doesn't come back. He's been kidnapped by IDF and stuck into a cage. When they're shooting as well, like if they're not shooting to kill, they look to shoot you in the head. But if they're not shooting to kill, they shoot to maim as well. There's these shoot to maim policies. They like to shoot you in the elbow or shoot you in the kneecap, something like that, because it cripples you for life. But another favorite one of them is to shoot you in the groin. There's so many children that have been shot in the testicles, young girls that have been shot in the vagina, because this stops them breeding. This is the policy of Israel. It's Israeli wonderful helpers of mankind. These are really the cruelest people on earth, folks. They really are. But all the stuff they're saying to the world, we're doing what we can to help the people, we're telling them to go to safe areas. They tell them to go to South Gaza, they bomb South Gaza. So many people have been killed in South Gaza since they told them to go there because it was safe. I still have a friend in South Gaza who's alive. Hopefully he will remain that way. I was speaking to him today. He said his only dream is to live in peace and to be able to raise his daughter. This is all he wants to do. They say they're opening up the border and letting aid trucks through. They're not letting aid trucks through. 17 aid trucks went down there from Egypt and they froze them at the border, wouldn't let them through. Sort of half opened the border, made it look like they were letting them through, and then cancelled the whole deal at the last moment. That's the sort of stuff they do, folks. They bombed a cafe that people were sitting down having morning tea. Yeah, did that look like a military target to you? They also bombed a market, like a supermarket. Again, this is not a military target. This is just the sort of stuff they do, folks. It's absolutely incredible. And they bombed some other kids at a water tank. There were some kids that were, you know, because water is very hard to get. So there were some kids that found some water in a pipe next to the big water tanks. They were there collecting water. They dropped a bomb on them. They really like to attack children, folks. It's a really big thing with Israelis. And they say, of course, that we'd never do that. We would never target children. But in fact, they do. They're actually, they say it's the right thing to do, to target children.
There is no mercy. You may think you're being merciful to a child, but you're not being merciful to the child. You're being vicious to the ultimate victim that this child will grow up and kill. Because the ideology that that child will grow up with is even worse than the ideology of his father. Hence the reason why the Torah in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 16, says, rules of war, lo techaye kol neshama, do not allow anyone to remain alive. Nothing. No mercy. Furthermore, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verse 19, Macho et Zecher Amalek, completely erase any memory of Amalek, which means men, women, and children, the Torah says, do not have the right to exist.
See, that's the thing, folks. When you really start to understand what Israel is, and what some of these Jewish traditions are, you realize that everything their public face shows to the world is presented to be precisely backwards. Very, very deceptive race, folks. A lot of people within the Jewish community know this, though. A lot of people have been sort of looking at this, and they don't buy into the programming. You know, that documentary that I showed you, Defamation, you start to realize just how heavily programmed these people are. But there's a lot of people that are sort of speaking out about this now. A lot of Jewish people are as well.
Okay, it feels important to say this. I am not pulling my perspective on Israel-Palestine out of my ass, okay? I'm not just guessing that Israel is committing a genocide against Palestine. I have studied and researched this. I have bona fides, and I will share them. First of all, I'm a Jewish woman. I was raised by a Zionist family. My grandfather was a Holocaust survivor. My family talks about our spirit of resistance and resilience constantly. Desiring goodness from the nation of Israel is in my blood, and still, I can see that this Zionist state is vicious, violent, and evil. If someone who was raised by a Zionist family, by people who believe that Israel has the right to exist and that it is our salvation, if I can overcome my pro-Israel bias and learn about this conflict, so can you. And frankly, I should not be calling it a conflict, it's a genocide. So when I was in college, around 2012, 2013, a bunch of my friends and loved ones started going on birthright trips. And I knew enough then to ask the question when they got back from their birthright trips, what about Palestine? And when these people I love, admire, and respect started talking about Palestinians and using language like terrorists, I knew I had to learn more. I also knew that I wanted to go on birthright, and I was nervous about being brainwashed by the trip, and I should have been nervous. So before I went on birthright, I decided at my small liberal arts school in Massachusetts to get a well-rounded perspective, educational perspective on Israeli-Palestinian politics. I took four courses: Suffering and Evil in the Jewish Tradition, The Jewish Experience, Middle East Politics, and Arab-Israeli Conflict. I also took international and comparative politics courses that often brought up Israel and Palestine in comparisons to, for example, apartheid South Africa. And by the time I finished my ample coursework on the subject before I went on Birthright, I was already pro-Palestine. Because once you are in the literature, once you are in the research, not the media stories about this, not the pro-Zionist rigmarole on CNN and MSNBC, once you are in the literature and the data, this isn't a debate.
The protests around the world have been phenomenal. Even though the government has said, well, we're not going to allow this, all that happens is the size of the protest doubles when they say that. And these politicians have got to understand what's going on here. We're on to you. We know that you're supporting war crimes. This isn't revenge. This is a staged attack. The evidence that this was staged by Israel is overwhelming. There's no reason Hamas would even have wanted to do this. And like I said, when they first did it, when they first announced it, on the very first report that I did about the situation in Gaza, I said, whoever did this wants to see Gaza wiped off the face of the earth, because that's going to be the only result of what's going to happen from this. Because the Israelis just won't back down. And they're claiming indignation, righteous indignation. It's just bullshit. These people are sociopaths. They are psychopaths. They enjoy this. They are so ramped up on bloodlust now that they want to go in there and gouge eyes out and cut fingers off and torture and rape and pillage and plunder, because that's what they do best. These people are Bolsheviks, folks. Like I said, this is Bolshevism 2.0. This is a lot of more. This is everything that we've seen happen in the past, and now it's happening again. It's the sickest thing. And all of the politicians in the Western world are supporting this. Rickshaw Shitsack from the UK, you're guilty of treason. You're guilty of committing war crimes. Just by supporting this genocide, you're promoting war crimes. You're guilty of war crimes. That means your office is invalid. It means you're invalid. Your government's invalid. Doesn't matter what bullshit, pompous ceremony you put out there, what crap you write on paper, you're supporting genocide. You're supporting ethnic cleansing. This makes you a war criminal, which means that it doesn't matter what you say or do from this point. Same with Justin Trudeau. You know, as far as I can see, the people of Canada and the people of England and the people of all these countries who are supporting this have every legal right, even under anything that could be construed as law in their own countries, if you want to believe that shit. But anything that you call law in Canada gives you the legal right to go and rip Justin Trudeau out of that office and go and try him and have him hung for treason and committing war crimes, for supporting genocide, for supporting ethnic cleansing. Doesn't matter what bullshit the media tells you. Collective punishment is a war crime. The mere existence of Gaza Strip is collective punishment in itself. That's a war crime. But now going in there and wiping out 2.3 million people, over a half of them under the age of 14 or 14 years or younger, and 75% of them 25 years old or younger, there's no way you consider this an army. There's no way you consider this a terrorist force. There's no way you consider this a war. And all these politicians are supporting it. You know, if the people of the world want to rise up, Macron, that freaking thing in Germany, whoever all these people are who are supporting this, every country who is supporting this, your leader is a terrorist. Your leader supports genocide. Your leader is a war criminal by their own actions over the last 2 weeks. Therefore, anything you do to take your country back is justified. That's really what needs to happen, folks. We need to take our world back, take our countries back. Look what's going on in Europe. You want to save Europe? You need to get out of the European Union straight away, like today. If they're having a meeting in European Union heads or whatever, just go and close the building, brick them all in there, whatever. You know, just say, hey, we're leaving today. Throw your government out, get out of the EU, close your borders and send the migrants home. Every country in Europe needs to do this. Go back to the way things were. Get out of the EU. They only got you in the EU so you'd have this head body there that would force you all to open your borders and be invaded by migrants, who they're all going to use to turn against you. You know, all these countries are falling down, folks, and it's all been designed this way. Again, from the same people. Look at the Kalergi plan if you want to see what's happening to Europe. It's outrageous, folks. It's absolutely outrageous. And like I said, they're trained to hate the Palestinians. The Jews are trained to hate the Palestinians. All this stuff they say about, you know, how the Arabs are trained to hate the Jews. You go and have a look at Jewish society and ask them what they think about Palestinians. Go and have a look at some of their rallies.
Maybe you shouldn't tell anybody that I said this, but you know all those tropes about Jews controlling the world, or at least wanting to control the world? They're actually true. Our goal as Jewish people for the last 3,300 years since the revelation at Sinai has been to control the world.
The Jews will control the world, whether they're going likes it or they hate it. That's a fact. It's written in a book that the Goyim admit that it's the book of God. So there's no argument here.
In Isaiah chapter 63, the day of the great and terrible day of the Lord, it says that the Lord will come out from a place called Edom, and he will crush Edom. Now, I'm just a broadcaster here, okay? In Jewish understanding, Edom is really talking about the Christianity.
Asking what's going to be with the Goyim when Mashiach comes. Will they be destroyed and annihilated? Someone asks, who cares? Okay. As a nation, they'll cease to exist, even as individuals. It's every individual, no survivors. Not only as a nation, they'll cease to exist, even as individuals. As Goyim, they're gone. Their personality, they're, as they exist, b'fnei atzmam, as they would exist independently of Klal Yisrael, they don't exist. They're done. In modern terminology, they call it cultural genocide. There's a term for it by the progressives. It's called cultural genocide. And Itaki used the word genocide. So that's the opinion who says the Karka Kobane says that they'll be annihilated, but Slantazai, they basically learn there's gonna be cultural genocide. That you know what, the Goyim as they exist as Goyim, Bifrayatsman, that's done with. Batul Mavotul.
The Jews run the show in the world. Not because they want, because that's what God wants. And it's written in the Torah that the non-Jews admit that is the word of God. If they didn't admit, what's the proof? But in the Torah it says that in every nation you will be, you will always be the highlight of the place. Even though we have very small community compared to America, 300 million Americans, 5 million Jews. There's no comparison. But the Jews are everywhere, politics, all the assistants of Trump, Jews, all the assistants of Sleepy Joe, Jews, Obama, Jews, everyone around there, Reform Jews, Conservative Jews, Chabadnik, this, convert, it's all somehow. Same thing was in Spain, same thing was in many different countries.
Instead of hating the Jewish people, you should love us, you should kiss our feet, you fool. We're the chosen people, not you. You should actually look at the truth and understand that the Jewish people are the greatest gift to mankind.
Look at some of the videos that they're putting out. I showed you those videos where they're rubbing pork on the bullets and strapping pork chops to bombs. That other guy who was taunting them about water. There's this other woman, some Jewish woman's taunting them about getting blown up.
قط
روتين جمع بيم لك احتهلك بمعارخة تعامل ايش الجز برودكشنز لأفير لسلم ولا اراقي مبربك كب كب لقرحة بكوش انا ما تجاري شناعة الكورس على انترنت شلي انا حنون المد بكورس احلى بتاع البور بيتزا ياري احلى بتاع البور بيتزوت شلتين واحلى بتاع البور بوتيتولي اتحبان من أحشاب برات عد سوت كوبا تابينوي استري محوزة نحبها زنة كوت كوبون حلس حمس لينك بابايو
على عهدي على ديني على أرض تلاقيني أنا لأهلي أنا فديهم أنا دم فلسطيني فلسطيني.
Yeah, and it's horrific, folks. It's absolutely horrific. You've got children in there, the four or five-year-old children. And they've experienced like 18, 19 days of constant bombing raids. Some of these children can't stop shaking.
خلص يا عم خلص
Unbelievable, folks. And it's so many of them, children being pulled from the rubble, and they're just shaking, and they cannot stop shaking. They shake for hours on end. This is just the most criminal, torturous bullshit I've ever seen from any country claiming it's a country, any government claiming it's a government. How people could do this and sleep at night, I just have no idea. I have no idea. And how the world can look at this and not be completely outraged, it blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind. Yeah, and all the reports you hear about the terrible Hamas terrorists, although the hostages they're letting go have said, hey, they actually treated us really well.
There was somebody with us who was injured. And there was a paramedic with him. They brought him in a better condition. But after 4 or 5 days, there was no improvement. Person had a guard watching him or her. They took care of all the needs. And if there are women here who know what feminine hygiene is, they make sure that we get everything we needed.
Of course, Israel's trying to think up. Anna, she said that because her husband's still in there. You know, all these kids get released. The only reason Hamas even takes hostages is to prevent bombing raids. That's the only reason they do it. Like I said on a couple of reports ago, in the bombing raid in 2014, and I was there in 2012, but in 2014 they kidnapped 5 Israeli soldiers because then they said, now you'll have to stop bombing us because if you bomb us, you might kill your own soldiers. So can we please have a ceasefire and please have peace talks? But Israel's saying, now, no, we won't have a ceasefire. They're claiming if any hostages die, it's Hamas's fault. Well, they're carpet bombing Gaza Strip. If these hostages even exist, I don't believe a frickin' word that I hear from Israel anymore. I don't believe about Hamas soldiers coming in on paragliders. They're not soldiers for a start. But I don't buy into this whole concept of them coming in on paragliders. I showed you the video when they showed you them coming down to the rave party. These are guys on parachutes. These aren't paragliders. They're parachutes. You need a plane for a parachute. Hamas doesn't have planes. Gaza doesn't even have a working airport. Doesn't have working anything. And all this bullshit that you hear, oh, Hamas, we give them all this money and they only spend it on rockets because Israel won't let anything else in there. Couldn't even get crayons for the kids at kindergarten in Gaza. I couldn't get nails to build school desks. There's so many things you can't get. You can't get A4 paper in Gaza. A4 paper, why not? Well, because it's school-sized paper, I guess. You know, do everything they can. If you can't get A4 paper, how are you going to get rocket launchers and paragliders in there? You can't get crayons in there, for God's sake. You can't get water in there. You can't get electricity in there. There was some report, I said, oh, Hamas is saying that they got no fuel. Look, here's all these fuel tanks inside Gaza. You know, that's very nice. But the fuel tanks are supplied from pipes outside Gaza by Israel, and they're not full of fuel at the moment. And even if they were, even if they had fuel in there, well, it takes electricity to run the pumps to be able to pump the fuel to get them out of the tanks. Same as the water. They go, oh, we've turned the water back on. Yeah, but you haven't turned the electricity back on, so there's no pumps to pump the water out of the tanks. And you've blown up all the water pipes anyway. You know, Israel is just a very deceptive state, folks. It's just unbelievable. But this has got to stop. It's really got to stop. And like I said, what an opportunity for freedom for the rest of us. Because your government is a war criminal. Rickshaw Shitsack's British government is a criminal government. It's supporting genocide. It's committing war crimes just by supporting this war crime. Therefore, it's invalid. It's going to come on TV and say, oh, look, I'm sorry. I was supporting war crimes for a minute there, but now everybody else has turned against Israel and they want them to stop and they want a ceasefire. Well, maybe I should do that as well. No, it's too late. You're already fucked up. You're already a war criminal. You've already proven that. And Israel's saying it's not going to ceasefire, so as far as I'm concerned, someone should step in there and make it ceasefire, which is what it might even come to. You know, you've got Russian ships coming there, you've got Chinese ships coming there. And this is all a big scam as well, folks, because we know Russia and China and, you know, the whole Chinese social credit system and all this shit that they want to put in place. We've got all of these migrants all through our countries, which are ready to erupt at a moment's notice. You know, it's really going to turn into a shit show, folks, if we don't stand up and we don't call our governments to account ourselves. You know, but Israel needs to stop what it's doing. All funding needs to stop going to Israel. No more funding. Kick all Israelis out of your embassies in whatever country you're in. Get all the dual citizen Israelis out of the U.S. government. I mean, that's where all this mess is coming from, because most of the U.S. politicians are dual Israeli citizens. And, of course, they've all got to sign that little clause that was exposed by Cynthia McKinney, that they all swear to support the state of Israel before they even get to office. And you've got all of these propagandists out there, all these social influencers, like Ben Shapiro is just going off on this whole kill the Palestinians rhetoric. He is absolutely incredible. Like, what a full-blown psychopath this guy is. He just wants death and bloodshed. He just wants to see as many Palestinian children killed as he can. He doesn't care that it's a population of children. He doesn't care that they're unarmed. He doesn't care that there's not two armies. He doesn't care that it's not a war. He just wants to see all Palestinians dead because people have to get over this Jew hatred that they've got. It's just freaking incredible, folks, the amount of propaganda. Lost so much respect for these people. So much respect for Ben Shapiro. Lost so much respect for Jordan Peterson. Not that I really respected him before. Lost so much respect for RFK. So much respect for any of these people. But what an opportunity, folks. What an opportunity for us, because now we can identify all of them. So many members within our own governments as being war criminals, supporting genocide, supporting ethnic cleansing. And even if you're somebody who wants to believe in the system, believe in governments, believe in all this legislation, well, okay, you probably believe in the UN as well. And like I said, even the UN is now speaking out against this.
The protection of civilians is paramount in any armed conflict. Protecting civilians can never mean using them as human shields. Protecting civilians does not mean ordering more than 1 million people to evacuate to the south, where there is no shelter, no food, no water, no medicine, and no fuel, and then continuing to bomb the south itself. I am deeply concerned about the clear violations of international humanitarian law that we are witnessing in Gaza. Let me be clear, no party to an armed conflict is above international humanitarian law. Excellencies, thankfully some humanitarian relief is finally getting into Gaza, but it is a drop of aid in an ocean of need. In addition, our UN fuel supplies in Gaza will run out in a matter of days, and that would be another disaster. Without fuel, aid cannot be delivered, hospitals will not have power, and drinking water cannot be purified or even pumped. The people of Gaza need continuous aid delivery at a level that corresponds to the enormous needs, and that aid must be delivered without restrictions.
Yeah, it gets to a point where, I mean, you have to. How can you not speak out against this? This is ridiculous. This is, like I said, it's the most brutal ethnic cleansing, the most brutal genocide operation that's been witnessed anywhere in modern history. And that's happening right in front of us. And it's happening not to a group of terrorists, not to a terror cell, not to a rogue country. It's happening to an impoverished, unarmed group of imprisoned people, mainly children. It's just outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. It's absolutely sick, folks, what the state of Israel is doing. And, you know, and another bonus is that it has exposed itself to the world. Now people can see the true face of Israel. It's a pretty scary face.
Hamas is not a terrorist group.
What is it, like a motorcycle club?
It is a resistance that has been fuming for 75 years of colonialism, of occupation, of murder, of rape, of little children, of women.
There were children murdered. There were babies beheaded.
Babies beheaded, really? Please educate yourself.
Please
check the news. Okay. Because as a news reporter, you got to check the news. Because they said that was fake, okay? Multiple times. Different channels. Different, even Biden himself, his ministers and his idiots said himself that news was fake. So, there's no 40 beheaded babies. Hamas is a Muslim a Muslim group. They would never do that because it's against Islam.
Do you really believe that?
There is evidence of Israeli women saying that they gave us water, they gave us food, they gave us a place to sleep comfortably. They gave us clothes. They got them to cover up out of respect. This is actual women having interviews, talking about when they were hostages or when Hamas members were coming into their house. Even at some point, a Hamas fighter told one of the women, "Can I have a banana to eat?" He asked if he could eat a banana that was in her home. Does that sound like a f***ing terrorist to you?
But anyway, just a short video today, folks. I just wanted to bring you this short one to let you know that I'm still alive. I'm in Texas at the moment. Acapulco has been hit by a terrible, terrible hurricane at 4 o'clock this morning, I believe. I'm trying to get in touch with people down there, but all communications are down. It's interesting that the universe sends me away when these things happen. There's been two bad hurricanes and one earthquake that's happened in Acapulco since I moved down there 2 years ago. And every time one of these things happens, I get sent away. I get sent somewhere else. But it was a Category 5 hurricane that hit Acapulco, and it was a tropical storm. And then within 12 hours, it turned into a Category 5 hurricane. This is the fastest developing, the fastest escalating hurricane, apparently, in world history. And it is the strongest, most severe hurricane ever to hit Mexico. It's done some terrible damage to Acapulco. I'm not sure what my house is going to be like when I get back there. It's pretty sheltered. It's a pretty well-situated sort of a place, but it's quite low. And if there was some sort of a tidal surge that came with the hurricane, then I would fully expect that I've probably lost my computer and maybe my guitars and a few things like that. It wouldn't surprise me if I get back and find a lot of that stuff missing. I'm hoping that I haven't. I'm very much hoping that my flatmates are okay in the house that I live in and the cat and all this sort of stuff. But pretty devastating hurricane, folks. Hurricane Otis. And yeah, it's devastated Acapulco. Apparently the Mundo Imperial Resort is pretty much destroyed. Princess Palace has taken a severe beating. Lots of stuff downtown, through the Costera, through the main section of Acapulco. Whole facades gone from the front of buildings. Balconies destroyed and high-rise buildings. Pretty dramatic sort of stuff going on there, folks. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I should be home on the weekend. I wanted to bring you this video today and at least give you an update on Gaza and give you an update on the fact that I'm still alive. Because once I get back to Acapulco, I don't know whether I'm going to have any electricity. I don't know how long it will be before everything comes back online and I'm able to even produce another video for you. So I just had to play it by ear, folks. Pretty crazy times. I mean, this whole reset is coming from all directions. Of course, they'll say it's climate change and global warming, and that's how come the hurricane developed so quickly. But there were winds up to 200 miles per hour, apparently, this hurricane was. Standard winds of 165 miles per hour, which is bad in itself, and gusts of up to 200 miles per hour. Pretty full-on stuff, folks. And straight for pretty much the eye of it, pretty well went over exactly where I live, just south of Acapulco. So I imagine I'm going to get home to a reasonable amount of destruction on the weekend. But yeah, I think that's all I've got to say. Like I said, just a short video today, folks. I'm still up in Texas. I will bring you another one as soon as I'm able. Please don't let up on this whole Gaza thing, and don't let Israel get away with what it's doing, and don't let your politicians get away with what they're doing either. You call them out. You can call these people out, folks. Stand up for yourselves and stand up for what is right. As I've often said, if we do not deal with the moral dilemma that is Palestine, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And you look how willing they are to just wipe these people out. And if the world's going to let them do it, if our Western politicians, if Rickshaw Shitsack is going to approve of this, this dickhead in the UK, he's going to approve of what's going on in Israel and going on in Gaza. And what do you think he's going to do to your country? I mean, he's offering a bit of lip service, saying he's going to give $10 million aid to Gaza or whatever. They don't want your $10 million aid. They want to live as a free country. They want to live with the same dignity and respect as everybody else. That's all they've ever wanted to do. So it doesn't matter about your $10 million. You're going to give them $10 million and yet say Israel has a right to defend itself. Yeah, Israel does have a right to defend itself. Everybody does. So do the Palestinians. But like I said at the start, what Israel is doing is going way beyond anything that could even remotely be construed as defending itself. This is not defending itself. But like I said, Israel just presents this wholesome, righteous anger. It's really just like a little schoolboy tantrum saying, well, he hit me, so I'm going to kill everybody in his family. You know, that's kind of what it's like. It's just this petty bullshit, and it's pure psychopathy. And bear in mind, Bibi was having a hard time as the president or prime minister as well. A lot of people wanted him gone. There's a lot of protests in Israel at the moment as well. People really don't like what Bibi's doing. They're protesting what's happening in Gaza, and they're telling him to get out of office. They don't want him to be prime minister anymore. Yeah, so there's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of people can see what's going on. Even general Israelis feel like they were betrayed. Even if they can't see or even admit to themselves that this was staged by Mossad, this was staged by the Israeli government. There's no way this was done by Hamas. This is Israel's 9/11. This was a false flag. It's just so obvious. But even those who can't see that, they still believe the government betrayed them because they took all the guards off that border. They created a situation where this could happen. You know, they're not going to ask themselves, well, gee, how come Hamas suddenly knew to fly over the wall in paragliders? You know, fly over the wall in paragliders, seriously? With all of Israelis' defences, and this is all it took, a couple of guys with backpacks and parachutes, paragliders, and fly over the wall, really? No question of where they got the paragliders, where they got the parachutes. You can't get crayons in there. You can't get A4 paper in there. You can't get nails in there. How did you get parachutes in there? How'd you get any of this stuff they need in there? None of it makes sense, folks. But a lot of people feel betrayed. A lot of people in Israel feel betrayed. A lot of people can see it's a false flag. And a lot of people realize that Israel's response to this has been completely over the top, like nothing you've ever seen. And it's just a bloodlust, hate fest is all it is. And, you know, a lot of people can see it, folks. I don't think Israel's reputation is going to last after this. I really don't. Yeah, just pure psychopathy from Israel, folks. And Bibi's reveling in this. And like I said, remember, he is facing a lot of backlash. A lot of people don't want him there. They want him gone. So this war is a perfect excuse for him to keep things going and go down as the person who saved Israel from the terrible terrorists, the man who managed to annex Gaza Strip. And you notice the propaganda as well. You know, he's out there and he's got his little... Because you always see Bibi, he's in a blue suit or something. Now he's in a little green, like a little parka, green or black parka. It's like he took a tip from Zelensky. He's got his war clothes on now. Yeah, and you see this in almost every clip that you see of Benjamin Netanyahu. Now he's got the little parka war jacket on or the little brown or green shirt on, you know. Same as Zelensky. It's just classic, folks, the shit that they put people through. Mind programming, they're so good at this crap, folks, because really, it's all about mind control, isn't it? And that's what this whole war has been about, mind control, just getting people to buy into the propaganda. Propaganda of war, folks. As I've said, propaganda of war is the worst war crime of all, because it is the propaganda of war which allows all other war crimes to be carried out. That's why it's so scary hearing about all the things they're accusing the Palestinians of doing, knowing full well in my mind that this is what they do or intend to do to the Palestinian people, if we allow them to do it. But I think the world is waking up, and I think that people are going to see what an opportunity this is for us to actually stand up and call things out and stop complying with this bullshit. It's got to be us, folks. No one else is going to do it. This is the opportunity we've needed to hopefully grow up. You know, that's the big problem, folks, as I've said so many times, is we just never grew up. I think it's about time we did. The people of Palestine, the people of Gaza, and indeed ourselves, we all need this to happen. Our children deserve for us to grow up, folks. Because as I said, if we don't, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And whose fault will that be?
انا بحلم يحق الحصان انا بحلم ما اكل شاورما وارجع اشوف حصان بالصور
انا بحلم يرجع ابوي
انا بحلم ما اكل سكر
انا بحلم ما اكل شاورما
انا بحلم اكل سكر
انا بحلم انه يرجع ابوي مثل ما كان
انا بحلم انه يرجع
مخيم مثل ما كان
انا بحلم يفتح الطريق
انا بحلم افتح الطريق معلش
انت حلمت قبل شوي كنت عم تحلم انك عم تاكل سكر
انا بحلم انه يرجع اخوي يعيش
عن جد بحلم انه اخوي يرجع يعيش قعدنا مشتاق له
mark the end of Israel. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? But of course, if that happens, like I said, Zelensky will probably offer them a place in Ukraine, because that's always been the plan. You know, but it could go either way. World War III, they really want to kickstart World War III. And they're really kind of creating a situation where it's almost inevitable. Because if they don't cease fire the way everyone's demanding that they do, and they're saying, no, we won't cease fire until they release all the hostages. Israel's probably already blown them all up, and half of them probably don't even exist. And the number keeps changing. What, it was 150 hostages, then it was 300 hostages, then it was 500 hostages, 600 hostages, then it was 1,300 hostages. Apparently now it's 3,000 hostages. So what, we got Hamas just keep running over the border and grabbing hostages, do they? While you got all these parties going on in Tel Aviv and people partying on the beach and sick stuff, really sick stuff, you know. So it's 18 days in and we're still under constant rocket attack from Hamas. You've got people partying on the beach. They're not under rocket attack. They're just letting off their fireworks display and saying, it's our Iron Dome protecting us. Every one of those explosions you see up there, that's when it hits a Hamas rocket. No, it isn't. It's just a fireworks display that they use to terrorize their own population almost as much as they terrorize the population of Gaza. Of course, not really as bad, because the children of Gaza are just having the most awful time imaginable. I can't imagine, like, doing that to those children, seeing children that are shaking like that and just being okay with that. I just cannot imagine the psyche of these people, the hatred, the bloodlust they have for Palestinians, calling them animals, calling them less than human, just everything that they are themselves, really, folks. And like I said, what a great opportunity for us to identify that all of our governments are war criminals. They're all supporting genocide. This is an opportunity for the world to take the world back. Maybe we won't have to have World War III. But Israel's pushing for it because they're not going to stop. They're not going to bring in a ceasefire. And therefore, the only moral thing for any government to do in a position where they can is to declare war on Israel and actually give them a real war. Only if that happens, and of course, United States, England, all these people, and the media will spin it and blah, 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 and suddenly millions of people die. So, like I said, pray for an impulse to just knock out all of Israel's defences, jam all their weapons up, jam all their radar up, jam all their planes, all their military, just render it inoperative. That would be a great way to get out of this mess. If anybody has an impulse, now's the time to bring it to the party. All right, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining on this report. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.